Good to be back. Some of you may not remember me, that's okay. You will remember me tonight. Amen. I joke around a lot, a bit of sarcasm. You have to forgive me, I'm from Philly. So I speak real fast. And people say you speak too fast, I say you listen too slow. Amen. It's a joke. My wife says you gotta smile more. People don't know if you're joking or not, so I'll put on my Joel Osteen smile, amen. Amen. It's a blessing to see a pretty crowded church for a Sunday evening. It's not the norm anymore. And it's a blessing. You never know when you go back to a church after a few years what you're going to see. And praise the Lord, you still sing the old hymns. Amen. Can't stand those chorus things over and over. It gets old real fast, about the 15th time, you know. No drums. Praise the Lord. Amen. I tried getting up here. I didn't avoid you people, just to let you know. I wanted to get up here, but everything kept on going wrong. But praise the Lord for those of you who pray for me. Amen. I got some prayer cards in the back in the foyer. One for 5, 2 for 12. And I just ask you to pray for me. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. I say this in other churches, I really don't preach very long. I don't believe in being like Pharaoh to God's people. I believe in letting God's people go. Amen. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, amen. If you can't laugh in church, there's something wrong. You know? I'm going to preach you some things tonight, just brief to the point, and then I'll get down and go out to eat. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. You're all laughing like you don't like to eat. You're a Baptist, amen? Like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're all like, hurry up, get done, amen? Don't worry, I'll get done. You all say amen, I'll make it short. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 14. The Bible says, obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, holiness has been defined as consecrated to God. It's to be saintly in character. And the Bible has a lot to say about holiness. As a matter of fact, it's about 720 references on holiness. And I know that holiness is not a term that's used much anymore. And a lot of Christians like to say, well, I have liberty, brother, or I'm not a legalist and all that. And, you know, holiness tonight has been mistaken by quite a few Christians. And the Bible commands us in these verses to be holy. It's not an option tonight. It's a command from God to be ye holy. And, you know, J.C. Riley said this, I believe there is far more harm done by inconsistent Christians than we are all aware of. But thank God there are some in America that are still trying to be holy and striving to be holy. And D.L. Moody said, a holy life will make the deepest impression. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you want to be holy? I mean, do you really have a desire to be holy? I mean, are you living holy? What does it mean to be holy? And how do you live a holy life? I want to preach to you a sermon tonight on how to be holy. It's a basic, simple sermon on what it is and what it's not. And hopefully you'll have a desire to be holy. Amen. For God's glory. Let's pray. Pray with me. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that's still standing by the stuff. I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I know I'm not worthy, so I pray that you use me in spite of me. Wash me with your precious blood. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to have liberty. Help me not to get in the way. And I pray to sing in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, first thing I'm going to say tonight about a holy person, number one, he's not self-righteous. He's not self-righteous. You know, a holy person does not think of himself highly. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says, for if a man think himself to be something, he says, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. See, a holy person is lowly in mind. Bible says Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm going to tell you now, you are not all that. You are not that spiritual. You are not part of the Trinity. You got no business having an arrogant chip on your shoulder when you come in the church. You're a sinner saved by the grace of God. Amen? And there's some people that's holier than thou, and I don't get along with people like that. Real arrogant, you know, real self-righteous spirit, you know. Like when you're in their presence, you don't realize how blessed you are to be around them. You know what I mean? And they shake you with this up, you know, the nose up in the air thing. You know what I mean? You know, what's this? A chip on their shoulder. You know, we don't need proud Christians, amen? We don't need proud people in the pulpit. We don't need proud people in the pew. You're a sinner saved by the grace of God. And you are only righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, a holy person will not be, he'll be humble. He will not be proud to be holy. Remember in South Africa when I started church, I led a man to the Lord, and he's a new convert, and he was glad that he was getting rid of certain things in his life. And he looks at me and says, "Preacher," I'm just so proud to be humble. And he looked at me, right, and he was real serious, right? And I looked at him, and my wife looked at me, and I said, "Don't even say nothing." About 3 months later, he looked at me and said, "Preacher, that was really a stupid thing to say, amen." The Lord put him through some things, amen. You know what holiness is? Holiness and humility go hand in hand like a hand goes into a glove. Muhammad Ali, you've heard about him and all that. He was on an airplane one time to take off. And the stewardess reminded Muhammad Ali to fasten his seatbelt. And he came back all proudly and said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And that stewardess replied, "Superman don't need no airplane either, amen." You know what Ali did? Ali humbly put his seatbelt on, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's a way of humbling you tonight. God's a way of making you realize what you're not when you think you are. And a holy person is humble like Jesus Christ was. He was humble, but yet holy. Even John the Baptist, who did not dress like a Pharisee, yet the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 20, that he was a just man and then holy. Who said that? A lost, wicked, pagan king named Herod. Holiness does not consist of a list of rules that you made up to look spiritual. I've been in over 200 churches now. I'm going to tell you, I preach in all different camps, all different flavors, all different sorts of nuts. And you know, I mean, people got weird, whacked out ideas of what it means to be holy. Holiness is not legalism. Legalism is an outward performance used by some to impress others. I'm not worried about impressing others. I'm just worried about pleasing God. Amen? And holiness is not an attitude where I don't do this and I don't do that, therefore look at me, I'm spiritual. Colossians chapter 2, verse 21 warns us, "Touch not, taste not, handle not." It's a sign of voluntary humility. It's false humility. It's not wrong to wear sunglasses while street preaching. I remember being down at Bible school my first year. I thought all the third year students were like all that, you know. Then I learned. But I was down there and a guy says to me, "Hey, brother." I'm like, what's this? He says, "Those sunglasses." So what about it? He goes, "They ain't spiritual." Just take them off. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I lived in Germany where the sun only shines like once a year. It's always cloudy. And I was down there at Pensacola preaching, and it's bright down there. My eyes were hurting. And I took off my sunglasses preaching out there, right? By the time I got done, I went home. I saw sunspots for the next 2 hours. But, you know, I looked real spiritual walking home with a white cane. You know, I wear sunglasses now. I don't care what anybody thinks. I ain't blinding my eyes. I'm burning my retina out for nobody looking all spiritual, you know. What is this? You can't wear sunglasses, you know. What have you ever heard of that? Spiritual sunglasses, unspiritual. Come on. You know where that guy's at today? In the world. I'm not making fun of him. But he had all these rules and regulations. Oh, you're spiritual. I'll tell you right now, the more rules and regulations you make in your Christian life, the more you're in bondage. The less happier you are. Man, when I got to the mission field, I had 100 convictions. Everything was wrong. Everything was sin. Then I backslid and I'm happy now. Amen? Amen? Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't do this. I mean, I got to the mission field alone and with just God. God helped me straighten out some things. I couldn't keep up with everybody's standards. You know what? I don't care anymore, too. I'll smile, guys. I mean, don't be all... Listen, I'm just telling you right now, I got to the mission field. I got to read so many chapters a day, because if I don't, I'm not right with God. And if I don't pray so much, I'm not going to power God on me. I remember one time being on the mission field, I used to go soul winning 3 hours a day. I know all this stuff happened. That's what affected my health and got me off the field. Worrying about what people thought of my prayer letter. Forget it. I'm an evangelist now. I ain't got to worry about that. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I was just joking. But I get out of there. I thought God was really impressed my spiritual eyes, praying an hour and a half a day. Reading 24 chapters a day, through my Bible 45 days. Then I was soul winning. Then I was teaching class, Bible Institute seven classes a week. Then discipleship course and preaching in an African church. Had my own church, doing all the services and all that. I remember one time walking down the hallway and I saw my kids in bed about 8:30 at night. And the Lord says, "Another day wasted." "It's another day wasted." He goes, "Another day wasted." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You didn't spend time with your kids." Amen. See, God didn't think I was as spiritual as I thought I was. Smile, God loves you, amen? Hey, you know what? It's not throwing out your TV. You got to throw it out because all... Okay, throw it out. I don't care. There's some guys that want you to fill out questionnaires. You have a TV. How much TV do you watch a week? What do you watch? And I'm like, man, what is all this stuff? And then there's always somebody after the church service when I say something about TV. Brother, I just want you to know, I only watch the news. Oh, come on. Amen? I got Comcast and I want to watch the 500 channels on there. Amen? Sky News and everything. And then, as soon as you go in the house, it's like they always got to break down to you. You know, I have this 61-inch TV, surround stereo system and all that. I can think, the news. Now, brought to you the Weather Channel. I know, it's just for the news. I understand. It's really exciting to watch it on 61-inch TV. Subwoofers. But you're spiritual because you don't have a TV. It's not avoiding a beard. Amen? Some of the brethren have a real hard time. Why don't you grow a beard? I hate shaving. Amen? If I grow a beard down into a skirt like Aaron, I would. But you know, some of the brethren have a problem with that. If you grow a beard, you're a hippie. Where's that in the scriptures? I mean, Christ had a beard, right? Amen? Spurgeon had a beard. Well, if you have a beard, you ain't right with God. I don't know. Some people avoid birthdays. All birthdays are pagan in the Bible, they say, you know? I think people that have that attitude just don't want to spend money on anybody. I think they're just too cheap to buy them a gift. I don't be associated with Jehovah's Witnesses, do you? I know I'm stepping on toes, man. Amen. Don't worry, my wife's a black belt. Amen. I ain't worried about it. She got my back. It's not avoiding jewelry. Oh, you buy your wife jewelry and all that, man. I'll buy whatever I want. Amen? She deserves it. Any woman who lives in a 33-foot fifth wheel, driving all over the states, deserves anything. Wouldn't you agree? Oh, I don't believe women should wear jewelry and all. Hey, you know, God ain't against jewelry. As a matter of fact, he says his church was all decked out with the jewelry in Song of Solomon chapter 1. You know why some guys complain about jewelry buying a wife? They're too cheap to buy it. Now, ladies, you better protect me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, amen. I'm telling you right now, you know, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Amen. But I ain't got the money to buy it. But you got money to buy another gun, another fishing rod, and another pair of boots and all that you don't need. Hey, it's not avoiding meat. I like meat. I see cows, I just start to salivate. Amen. I thank God for meat. Amen. I'll eat anything. I don't care. Fry it. Bread it. I don't care. But you got guys on this vegan diet. It ain't vegan. I see vegan, V-E-G-A-N. It's vegan. You got to get in with it. You got to get in with it. Program. It's got to be tofu. Forget that. That's nasty stuff. I've tried it. I won't do it again. If you don't eat organic and juice and all that, I'm not against that stuff. I'm on a certain diet for my own health and all that. But there's this thing called a hallelujah diet. His brother tried to get me on and all that. All you do is drink everything. You drink everything. You go out in your front lawn and pick some flowers and grass and cut it. I'm just joking. But anyway, you just pick all that stuff up. And you juice it and all that, you drink it and all that, it's a hallelujah diet. Hallelujah, I am not on that diet, amen? Amen? And I think if God didn't want me to eat bacon, he wouldn't make it so good, you know? And I thank God. And if you want to chew on a tree root, help yourself, I don't care to do that. And if you want to graze on grass in a glass, drink it up. I don't like that. I tried all that stuff, superfood and all that. Then your stuff's in your teeth and you're chewing sand all day. I've had all that. I'm not for that. What am I saying? A holy person doesn't think everyone's backslidden who's not the same convictions as he or she does. And you know why? You know why you got your own convictions? You are your own individual. And if we all had the same convictions, we'd be in a cult. And God does you at different levels in different ways. So it's not right if you say, you ain't spiritual as me. We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves, the Bible says. It's not wise. You ever forget? Don't ever forget the most separated, self-righteous people were the Pharisees. And they had Christ killed. Amen? I'm saying tonight, don't be so critical of others if they don't have the same convictions as you. Can you still love them? Love them where they're at, Jack Patterson said, not where they should be. Amen? Look at them. They got a nose ring. They only been saved a few weeks. Look at them. A woman wears pants and this and all that. Give her some time. I remember in Germany, I'll never forget, this woman, she was a spiritual cop, and she wore these dresses that looked like the 1950s, you know, Starsky and Hutch drapes, you know? Anyway, some of you get that later on. But these long sleeves and this turtleneck up to here and no makeup, and she didn't fix her hair at all. She had these flip-flops on, 99 cent a pair, and these woolly mammoth socks and all that. And it was just hideous. And she thought if any woman tried to fix herself up, she was a Jezebel. And it was her duty every time a new Christian came in that wasn't dressed modest and only saved 2 weeks to run them out. She ain't right with God. Amen? We ought not to do that. When someone comes in, you don't say, yeah, well, and don't beat them over the head with the King James Bible as soon as they come in. Maybe they don't know about it yet. But you're going to get them! Just leave them alone. They'll grow. Amen? Number 2. Got 15 points. Amen? Number 2. Holy person, not self-righteous. Holy person, number two, is sanctified. What does that mean? Sanctified, separated from sin. I was in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, that we're called to be saints. When you get saved, God no longer says you're a saint. He says you're a saint now. No sinner. I know you sin. I know 1 John 1, 9, I'm not throwing out the window. But you're called to be a saint. We're called to live a holy life. And holiness will not regenerate you, but it'll show that you have been regenerated. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. How is your heart tonight, Christian? Is your heart right in the sight of God? J.C. Riley said that a holy man will follow after purity of heart. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, keep thyself pure. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3 says, but know the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You know what it is? Tonight, to live separated, to live a holy life is to be separated from sin unto God, and it can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And being holy and living holy is a work of the Holy Spirit working through you when you yield to Him. It is God's work to make unholy men holy men. Amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we're all unholy by nature. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, what? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank God, though, if you're saved tonight, you were once a servant of sin. But you've been made free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He says, the Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, if you're not under the law, but under grace. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, being made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, but now being made free from sin, become servants of God, you have your fruit on the holiness and the end everlasting life. Are you holy tonight? You have any desire to be holy? Did you come tonight to hear from God, or did you come out of routine? You got some sin in your heart and life. Your preacher's been nailing every week and all that. Why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you get right with God? I'll tell you right now, look at our country right now. We're in a mess. Our country's headed for destruction. And God's people will not get right. And they're just sitting there, well, you, whatever, you know, time. Man, I'm telling you right now, man, we ain't seen nothing yet. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. Holy person realizes sin is ugly and holiness is beautiful. That sin is like a disease and holiness is like health. And sin is darkness and holiness is light. And sin is filthy and holiness is clean. Holiness will lead you to live a unique life. The Bible says you're to be a peculiar people. What is that? Weirdos. That's my updated Philly version. Amen. The Bible says that in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify on himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Holiness is produced by you living right. You cannot be holy and live in sin. Holy people do not want to live in sin. You're either living the life of a holy person tonight or living the life of a hypocrite. One person said that no person ever became spiritual by lowering their standards. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said years ago, there must not be the appearance of holiness in one area and reigning sin in another. You know what Satan wants you to think tonight? That if you strive to be holy, you're a Pharisee. That if you strive to be holy and want to be holy, that you're a legalist and all that. I'm going to tell you right now, these old-time preachers, the preachers that we quote, were not doctrinally right with God. Who? Jonathan Edwards and Charles C. Finney and Billy Sunday and all. They were not doctrinally right. But yet they had the power of God on them. And God used them. Why? Not only did they preach holiness, they practiced it. They had the power of God on them. And when they preached, sinners melted down and people got right with God and got right and saved. Amen? And you know what? We ain't got that today anymore. Here we got all our doctrine. What are we doing about it? You guys know the truth. You guys are dispensational and all that, but why don't you try practicing it now? Amen. I can write it by the word of truth. I know what's wrong with briders, and I know what's wrong with Church of Christ. But what's wrong with you? You see what I'm saying? Nothing's wrong with me because I'm right with... See? Amen. I was in James chapter 1, verse 27, to keep himself unspotted from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. In James chapter 4, verse 4, says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We're to be different from the world. And we're not to live like the lost. And holy people, I'm going to tell you right now, holy people will not fornicate. Do you hear what I said? This is going on in churches today, among the youth, among young people living together. And they know that I was at a church one time and I preached. I didn't even know what was going on. The deacon had a girl and a boy living in their house, shacking up. And I know. And when they're preaching all that, preacher got mad because that young couple left. I didn't know nothing. It's becoming acceptable in our churches. Fornication. I was in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It's not fit for you as a saint to fornicate. It's wrong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. This also includes internet pornography. It's going on. Anybody talk? Don't worry about it. Ye have heard that was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Had a guy come up to me one time after preaching at a service and all that, and he was crying. Now, I didn't know if it was conviction or the sermon was that bad. I don't know. But he comes up to me and says, brother, I got a problem. I'm like, man, he confessed to me. I learned some things from Brother Spurgeon. When everybody comes to you, go to your pastor, amen. That's how you, I'm glad I'm not a pastor, amen. Go to him. You got a gun? I'm not the one. He invited me, amen. And that guy, man, he told me, he says, I work with the youth from 6 to 11 years old and all that. And he goes, I've been addicted to pornography the past 3 years. Man, what are you going to tell me about that for? And I looked at him, I said, why don't you get rid of it? I said, get rid of your computer. He said, well, okay, I'll get rid of it. We pray at the altar and all that. After I'm all done, he goes, I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to get rid of it. I'm going to get rid of my computer. I'm going to tell your pastor. Amen, I did. Something ain't right anymore, people. There's something real messed up, man, going on in churches anymore. You hit on it, you say it, you throw it out, and all of a sudden it gets real, something ain't right. Because people are messing with it. People you never think are. That ain't right. Amen? I made a covenant with mine eyes, Job said in Job 31, verse 1. Why then should I think upon a maid? You better keep your eyes in your head. Amen? You know what holy people do to keep their thoughts pure? They'll keep their thoughts holy. Why? You're to bring every thought into captivity. You're to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And having in readiness of revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. J.C. Riley said that a holy man is in the habit of being of one mind with God. What does that mean? A holy person will think like God. Amen? Preacher, we're going to have the... No, we have right now, 1 Corinthians 2, 16, the mind of Christ. That means we have the ability right now to think like Christ. Think holy. Oh, preacher, let's go back to Romans 7. No. Let's go to Romans 8. Amen? Let's get some victory. See, we got to the point right now where we have eternal security down, but that it's like a law to sin. It's like liberty to sin. Amen? You know what a holy person won't do? He won't gossip. A holy person won't backbite. A holy person won't slander. Listen to what I'm saying right now. You got a problem with the preacher? Tell him to his face. He's a big guy. I won't. Amen? I'm just joking. But you know what? You need to be man enough. If you talk about him, you better confront him. Wherefore, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I can't understand why you would run your mouth about the preacher's wife. Run your mouth about the preacher's kids. Look at those kids and all that and everything. Look at your own. Amen? How about holy people don't yield to temptation? There is no temptation to take. Well, but you don't understand. I'm just weak. No, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not tempt, allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The Bible says that a holy person will read his Bible. See, where do you get that at? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth in John 17, 17. John 15, 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. For Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 and 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to ask you, how many of you have read through this Bible? Now I'll show hands, amen. But what you read today? I got my pages in and chapters and all that. Look, if you do this at church, please don't. I want a preacher to rebuke me after. We do it as a church. Okay, man, relax. I didn't know. Amen. My question is for you, what did you read this morning? And did you even bring your Bible? And did you even know where your Bible was at this morning? Chances are it's the same place it was last Sunday where you left it there. We believe the King James Bible. Do you? You love it? Amen? quiet, amen. Y'all are like a bunch of Presbyterians now, getting all quiet on me, amen. Come on now, I ain't trying to be mean. This is not one of these sermons I want to preach the first time I've been back. So run me out, amen. The holy people pray. Where are you for prayer night? Well, I got things to do more than pray. You got things better than to get a hold of God? There right now, what you're doing on Wednesday night or whenever you meet is not praying, you're watching TV. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without that. You know, it's really hard to be lifting up holy hands to God when you have one cigarette in the other hand. Try that. Try it. God bless a cigarette. Or a beer. Or a mouse looking at stuff on the internet. See, it doesn't make sense, does it? One preacher said that holy people are praying people for prayer, for praying. And he says, for holiness is found in a prayer closet. As praying and holiness go together, so the decay of one means the decay of the other. You know, a prayer is a way of life for holy people. I'm going to ask you, how much time do you spend in prayer? Do you really know God? Do you love God? Do you just read through a bunch of people you pray? You say, well, preacher, we pray for missionaries, but do you really pray for them? You know, you can pick out the typical Baptist prayer, God bless the gift and the giver, and God help the money to go where it needs to go. It's the same prayer every week. I had a guy in South Africa tell me, preacher, I pray for you every day. I says, well, you never come to prayer meeting. I know that's why I'm not pastoring probably, amen. He said, brother, I pray for you every day. I says, you don't come to prayer meetings, the chances are you don't pray. Amen. I'm just asking you, pray. Talk to God. You know God. You love God. You hear His voice. He hear your voice. Number three, and I'm done. A holy person is submitted to God. He's submitted to God. You know what a holy person does? It does what God commands him or her to do and expects God and does all that God expects of him or her to do. Does all that God requires. A holy person is fully surrendered to God. And no Christian tonight is holy who does not do what God wants him or her to do. If you love the Lord tonight, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You believe it? If you don't live right, do you really love the Lord? Can you be holy and be disobedient at the same time? You know what a holy person does? He prays and fasts when God tells him to. A holy person will give when God commands him to. Holy people follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Holy people fear God because they're committed. Why? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness, completing holiness in the fear of God. You can never live holy without fearing God. You fear God, you get a hold of God. I'll tell you right now, you'll shun every appearance of evil. Why? Abstain from all appearance of evil. One person said that a holy person aims in heart, in word, in dress, in action to do what God wants him or her to do. We'll use the whole body for holiness, lips for the truth, voice for prayer, eyes for pity, hands for charity, heart for love, because they're 100% committed to the Lord. I'm going to ask you now, are you really 100% committed to the Lord? See, it's not. Well, this person says I should dress like this. Did you ever ask God? See, it's not what you should dress. It's you should go home in front of your dresser and say, God, would you have me wear this? It's not whether the TV is right or wrong for so-and-so. It's God, would you have me allow this? Would you allow me to have this in my home? See what I'm saying? Find out what God says, not what the brethren. Amen? Holiness is to be like God, for God is holy. And how can you as Christians expect God's presence in the midst of a congregation who may not be living holy or godly or sanctified lives or separated lives or filthy lives? And on Holy Church tonight, it's powerless to God. It's useless to God. It's like Ichabod. You know, you can have all your doctrine straight, but if there's sin in the camp, it will cause God's presence to depart. And it seems like people are just perfectly content. Remember years ago, God met in our service. Remember years ago? Why years ago? Why not last week? It just seems like we have become complacent. Just content with doing our bare minimum for God. All of us, by the way. Amen? The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14, therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. If you want God's presence in this church, and as a church you need to strive to be holy. Listen, when you leave the doors of this church, not only do you represent the Lord Jesus Christ, you represent your church. And what you do and how you dress and how you talk and who you hang with represents this church as a whole. And they say, hey man, that's the church you go to? I want nothing to do with it. And I'm telling you right now, how many people will not come to this church maybe because of your testimony? I'm not a king. I know who I'm talking to. King James, I believe. But But you know what? I'm telling you right now, you ought to live it. I ask you tonight, will you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? I don't know about you. I want God's presence. I want God's blessings on my life. I want God's power. Why? So I can show off? No, I want to know Him. I want to be so close to God that when He talks, I hear. Now, I just know Him, and He knows me. Don't you? Don't act like I'm being your enemy tonight. I'm not trying to be your enemy tonight. I'm trying to be your friend. I'm telling you, do you want to know God tonight? Or are you content with just going through the motions? Sit, kneel, stand, sit, kneel, stand, sit, kneel, stand. Come to church, sing the hymn. Yes, get the announcement. Yes, let's take up the offer. Same thing! I don't know about you. I want real Christianity. I want you know, real experience with God. And we all get in ruts. I understand like that. But you must present yourself an altar time and time again for you to be holy. I'll close with this verse. There's a scripture where it talks about in Exodus chapter 29. I thought this was good. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 37, he says, whatsoever toucheth, the altar shall be holy. Get a hold of that. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. See, if you want to be holy, you know where it starts at? At an altar. I can't understand it, how some Christians can sit in a Bible-believing church like this, and they're preaching like you're a pastor. I've heard them at the blowout. Amen? I gave them the sermons. No, I'm just joking. Amen? I'm just joking. But I can't understand how somebody can sit in a church like this and hear them preaching the Word of God and never come to the altar. You've been here for 5 years and never came to the altar. I can't understand that. You can't always be right with God like that. And God hasn't spoke to your heart. You know what I'm going to tell you why you don't come? Pride and sin. Only two reasons why. You know what one preacher said one time, Lee Robertson, there's two reasons you should come to the altar. Number one, God has spoken to you. And number two, God hasn't spoken to you. Some of you get that later on. Confessing sin on an altar starts now. And committing yourself to God now to living a holy life. It's dying. You know when you bring someone to the altar, it was for death. Amen? Would you bow your head? Please, no one looking around. Would you close your eyes? As your pastor comes, I just said some things tonight. It's not a self-righteous life with a bunch of rules that you made to look up holy holiness. It's a separation from sin. I'm going to ask you now, are you living holy or not? Would you come? If God has spoken to you tonight, is living holy tonight important to you? Holiness is submission. Will you submit to God tonight and be obedient to God tonight so that you can be holy? Would you come if God spoke to you? Last thing I want to say tonight is, there's no way you can live holy without the Holy One in you. Maybe you're lost here tonight. Would you come, preacher?
Let's just remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a few minutes. An opportunity for you to come if you feel the Lord dealt with you tonight. stand quietly and turn to number 70. This altar's still open. Not trying to run anybody off the altar. Feel free to come if you still need to come. Number 70.